On ABC Radio Hobart, this is Louise Saunders.
It is World Environment Day. There'll be much discussion of it throughout the day and continuing into the evening. One aspect, though, perhaps takes us off on a different tangent, and that is a speech tonight at the University of Tasmania. You can still get along. It's not until 6 o'clock. Male supremacy, human supremacy, and the fate of the ecosphere. Visiting Hobart after a stint with the Sydney Writers' Festival and other events as well. He was at the Hobart Bookshop yesterday. Is from the University of Texas in Austin, Professor Robert Jensen, who has a number of books to his name, including the author. He's the author of The End of Patriarchy, Radical Feminism for Men, Getting Off Pornography and the End of Masculinity, and The Heart of Whiteness, Confronting Race, Racism and White Privilege. Robert, Bob, good afternoon. Thanks for coming in.
It's great to be in Hobart.
Are we anywhere near the end of the patriarchy?
Well, as I've been saying, the title of the book is aspirational. We hope to aspire to it someday. I don't think I'm going to see it in my lifetime. But like most systems of power, you know, we keep plugging away, and that's how the world changes.
There's not universal acceptance that men can be feminists. Why and how does a man be a feminist?
Well, in my case, I'll just speak autobiographically. About 30 years ago, I wandered back to graduate school and was studying the feminist critique of pornography. Pornography, graphic, sexually explicit material, saturates the culture now more than ever, and there was a feminist critique of its effects on women. And I also came to understand that feminism was not just a way to explain the way girls and women are subject to so many forms of discrimination and violence, but the way that men are socialized to be those violent perpetrators, and I don't want to be that. So what I realized is feminism, which had always been portrayed to me as a threat to men. Yes, feminism is something, you know, I should be afraid of. In fact, what I realized was feminism was a gift to men. It was a way to understand the system in which we were socialized, often to our own detriment as well. And so I often refer to myself as a man who works in feminism, works with feminist organizations. Whether I'm a feminist or not isn't the most important question to me. Mm. It's what I can learn from and contribute to the movement.
Over 30 years, as you say, is it still a message it's hard to get out, because there's still a backlash, or perhaps an even greater backlash, against women who want to identify as feminists and who do still see, as you say, that it is a movement against men rather than of equality?
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of things in this world are two steps forward, one step back, one step to the side. So I certainly have a lot of students, you know, 18, 19, 20-year-old women at the University of Texas where I teach, who are afraid of the word in a way they wouldn't have been 30 years ago. If we look at contemporary culture, we see there are women in politics, business, education at levels they wouldn't have been when I was a child. That's all to the good. We also see that, for instance, the pornography industry, which I've spent the most time studying, produces more and more cruel and degrading images of women in sexualized situations. It produces more racist images of sex. We've lost ground on that question. We're still struggling with the challenge to prostitution, the idea that men shouldn't buy and sell women's bodies for sex, a core feminist principle from my point of view. We're still struggling on that. So feminism is more necessary than ever from my point of view, and not only for what it tells us about sex gender politics, but what it tells us about power more generally. And that's the connection to tonight's discussion of World Environment Day. We face problems not just in relationships between men and women, of course, but across the board. And it's kind of interesting that my career thinking about these things, writing about these things, doing research, started at the most intimate level of our lives in sexuality between people, and has taken me to the planetary, the most overarching questions of how, or if, maybe we should say if, the human species is going to continue on this planet indefinitely. So the connections about power are there, I think, at all levels.
It's interesting. I mean, to go back again to do the comparison, now there's such an abundance of availabilities as the simplest memes that want to tell a story. That male domination of every area of politics and running the world is so apparent. And I guess the easiest example to use is the one that's most evident every day, and that is your own country and Donald Trump when it comes to the leadership.
So we know that Australia is feminist friendly, and your government is completely equal, and there's no sexism in Australian politics. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, okay.
Yeah,
that's
because
that's what everybody's telling me. Okay. And then there's the United States. By the way, that was a joke. If anybody listening thought, boy, these people from America sure are dumb.
That's a good point, though. It is a good point to make.
But the election of Donald Trump, from my point of view, was disturbing on several levels. One, of course, is some of his policies, most recently pulling out of the Paris Climate Accords, are literally life-threatening for the planet. His lack of knowledge about foreign affairs and his willingness to send off the bombers should worry everybody. But of course, it was his personal behavior that should have knocked him out of the running. When someone, by his own statements, acknowledges being a sexual predator, preying on women, you would think that would disqualify you from the highest political office in the land. But in this case, and here's what's so disturbing, it actually made him a more attractive candidate to some men. And I think also to some women who saw, here's a strong man. Yes, maybe he's a little randy, you know, and has these urges. But after all, that's men. He played into this idea that to be a strong man, which is how he portrayed himself, a man who will take action, a man who can win in business and government, is also to be a man who has his way with women. And it was right out there for everyone to see. One would have hoped the country would have rejected it. Mm. Unfortunately, we are now stuck with it.
Well, to take that and, as you say, the same flaws that do exist in other Western countries, including Australia, perhaps not so much on the world stage, human supremacy in the line with male supremacy. How far do we need, I guess, to go to demonstrate our willingness to cede that in the name of saving the planet, whether it's to switch to being a vegetarian or a vegan or to stop wearing leather shoes?
Yeah, so there's things we can all do at the individual level. I haven't eaten meat for a long time, but I don't think going vegetarian is going to deal with our most deeply embedded ecological crises, of course. But I think stepping back and asking a couple of basic questions is, first of all, by what right do we dominate the planet and spend the ecological capital of the planet at levels that are going to literally, on this trajectory, make it impossible for us to continue to live in the ways we're used to? And the other question, I think, is what does it mean to live a good life? I mean, in the U.S., and I'll stick to my own culture because there's so much to criticize there, the obsession with wealth, with consumption, with material comfort, really does strip away people's ability to think about what it means to live a good life. Now, these are, you know, capitalist Western consumption-based traditions, and we know there are other traditions. You know, you have Aboriginal traditions of your own to look to. But around the world, people have lived in a lot of different ways. And this now global consumer society, which kind of blankets almost every bit of the earth, really is a threat to our ongoing survival, which means we have to ask this question, how much is enough? And by what right do we claim the endless bounty of the earth for ourselves? At some point, it's simply ecologically impossible to maintain this. That's just science. It's physics, chemistry, and biology. It's not ideology. It's not me being some crazy, you know, American. That's the limit we run into.
I think just finally, it's interesting that probably in choosing the forums that we use to ask those questions, because I think there's still perhaps a sentiment that is perceived that a lot of the causes we're talking about, which is the rights of non-humans to own the world, even feminism, are seen as leftist ideologies when the world seems to be moving politically further to the right.
It's a big problem. The United States, of course, of all the industrial countries, is by far the most right-wing. The political spectrum in our country is so far to the right that many people, including, I've talked to Australians, are quite taken aback when they come visit. So yes, the right, the ascendancy of the right, and by that I just mean systems of domination that I don't think are consistent with either our own moral principles or ecological sustainability, are on the rise. And in the United States, I think we can see the consequences of what happens if the whole world continues to move the way we have. We're in a series of what I would call permanent crises, and primarily economically and ecologically. We simply can't sustain this. The boom years of the post-World War II era are over. And if we were rational, big if there, if we were rational as a species, we would be stepping back and saying, okay, how do we readjust? But this driving profit consumption model makes it very hard for people to step back. And I'm not preaching from on high here. I mean, I can think of ways in my own life I could certainly cut back, ways I could contribute more politically. We can all do more.
It's opening a conversation, isn't it?
Yeah. And I don't like to preach at people. The older I get, the more I know I don't have answers. But I do think I've lit on the right questions at this point in my life. And the fundamental question that ties what we're talking about, both this intimate level in relationships between men and women and the global level between humans and the rest of the world, the fundamental question is, can we live with systems that are premised on domination and subordination? And I don't mean that as some highfalutin term. Everybody knows what domination and subordination means, because when somebody imposes their will on you, or when a society imposes its will on others, or when we as humans impose our will on the whole world, bad things happen, and we've got to come to terms with that.